Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, oh, crap! I almost forgot! Wait! Sean! I was saving it for a good time.
What is it?
Big Chief. The best.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
Well, my mind is going through them changes.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope your Mondays are going well. Hope you had a great weekend. Chiefs and Bills about to get underway. Aaron Andrews is holding an umbrella. Must be raining in Buffalo.
I didn't know she was still with Fox.
She's still hanging around with Fox.
Good for her. It's a long career.
Did you guys see the Fox quarterback graphics yesterday that they bulked up every QB? There was a funny one going around of Brady and Rodgers.
What do you mean, like, made them
bigger?
So they
did like a graphic where they just showed stats and that kind of stuff, but it was like a cartoonish kind of graphic, and they made them look like, you know,
superhero, Superman,
yeah,
type
like
stuff.
Roided out Barry Bonds muscles. Like,
no,
man, what's going on there?
I must have missed that one. But I have seen the picture on the internet that has made every quarterback fat.
Oh, those are pretty good.
And then somebody says, can you notice the difference between one of these? And it's like six quarterbacks. It's like Sam Darnold fat, Deshaun Watson fat.
Yeah, the fat face app.
There's one quarterback that they did not make fat, but he looks like all the other quarterbacks. It's Ben Roethlisberger.
I mean, he's a big guy. You know, what do you want from him? They did the same thing for golfers. They said, check out all these fat golfers. And it was like 12 pictures, and they kept Patty Reed's face normal. Like, all right. Everybody else is big. So Buffalo, Kansas City about to get underway. I did see this come across the wire. I just wanted to pass this along. The Pac-12 is now Pac-12's 2 weeks away from getting underway. They have released their minimum thresholds to play a football game. As in, if you get positive tests, all that kind of stuff. And it looks basically identical to what every other conference has put forth. You got to have a minimum number of players, obviously, if you're going to go play a game. That minimum number is 53 scholarship players available. And you have to have a minimum number at each position. 7 offensive linemen, 1 quarterback. Oh, God, that'll be a fun disaster.
Oh, man.
If you don't have a backup quarterback and then your starting quarterback gets hurt, who do you put in then? And then 4 defensive linemen. So if you don't have that minimum at a position or a total of 53, the game will be postponed. Or I guess in the Pac-12 sense, canceled because you don't have any fill-in weeks there to play later in the season.
Well, to answer your first question, I think you run the Wildcat.
I think you have no
other option outside of saying, Jamar Jefferson, just line up in the shotgun and take the snap, baby.
Oh, God. I remember arguing that for Oregon years back when they had, I think it was the injury-riddled
Was
Vernon
it the year
Adams.
When Leaf? Oh, Vernon Adams.
I think it was
Braylon Addison.
Braylon Addison, dude. He threw a touchdown pass like at Colorado.
At Colorado. I bet, like, on that game.
Put this guy in there, man. He's better. I thought it yesterday, and this is way extreme, but I did consider it watching the New England game because they're like 2 biggest pass plays of that game where Julian Edelman passes on trick plays where they'd flip it to him. He threw one to Cam and he threw one back, I think a screen to James White or something. It's like, hey, what the hell, man? Roll it out there, New England. See what you got.
Tennessee's rolling with a wide receiver at quarterback.
Uh-huh. I see what you did there.
Hey, they converted. It's possible.
He did.
It's, what do you like seeing more? Random non-quarterbacks play quarterback or position players in baseball pitch?
Ooh, probably random non-quarterbacks play quarterback. I would say that. Like running a wildcat or trying to, an option kind of system. I would probably edge there. Now, I need to do more research on this, but did you guys see the kicking story for the Jags yesterday?
I did.
The kid, it was a second game, right?
So he's never, like, kicked before.
Yeah. Or that was a second kick attempt. I watched him miss an extra point or a field goal, and they're like, in his second kick attempt ever.
Yeah, he drilled his first one. John Brown is his name, and they kind of highlighted it on the red zone yesterday. He had never kicked a field goal at any level of football before. And it's like they had to use like their sixth different kicker this year. I don't know what the hell's been. Maybe their kicker sucked.
The Jags,
or they're hurt.
They're
or
terrible.
Who knows what the hell is going on there?
I'm pretty sure their kicker went on the COVID list after this last weekend.
Oh, is it a COVID thing?
Yeah.
He's got the Rona. But, Bills, by the way, quick three and out. Nice drive, Josh Allen.
They had two drops.
Two drops on the opening
drive.
They
just had a first down drop. Should be noted, Gardner Minshew, not tank proof.
No, he is no longer tank proof.
He in fact can lose all the games he plays.
Yeah, so John Brown played, he played soccer in high school. He earned a scholarship in that sport to Kentucky. He walked on as a football player at Louisville, and he was just a kickoff specialist for them, but he never attempted a PAT or a field goal. Spent some time with Cincinnati and San Francisco. He went undrafted in 2016, never made an attempt in a game, and they brought him up, and he drilled his first field goal attempt. I think he ended up missing another one, but he hit his PAT attempts, and that was kind of funny. He was the first team since the merger in 1970 to have a different player attempt a field goal than Jacksonville was. Different player attempt a field goal in five consecutive games. First team in NFL history.
Jeez, man.
Come on down, Jacksonville. Dear God, that one made me laugh.
Well, at least the Jags know they're probably in line to go get Fields or Sewell or maybe even Lawrence, depending on who gets that number one.
Yeah, they're going to have to go quarterback, I would imagine, in that spot.
Although the Jets have a pretty sizable lead, it feels
like. They do.
Even though there's only one game difference between them and Jacksonville.
We'll have to look up if the Jets and Jags play at any time this year. I mean, I would still take the Jags to win that game handily, but we'll have to.
I think I probably would. Well, here's the other part. Not to get too ahead of ourselves for this weekend's games. I was wondering, because I saw Miami 9 going into Sprague and the Line.
Uh-huh.
And I kicked around that pick. I'm like, you know what? Miami's going to beat them.
Dude, the Jets are awful.
And I stayed away just from one of the Spragging line picks because I thought it's a big number. You never know in the NFL. Things are weird. I saw that game and I just thought, I'm an idiot. I should have picked that. What's the number that's appropriate to get you to not bet against the Jets right now?
Anything north of 16.5.
They play Buffalo. So Buffalo's playing right now. Guess that spread.
I mean, it has to be more than two touchdowns. If it's not, then I'm all over it. Then I don't even care what it is. I'm hammering them.
12.5.
Hammering it.
Yeah.
Dude, the Jets can't sniff anybody right now.
They just look like a team that's quit.
They have
completely quit.
If they fire Adam Gase, I would back away from it. But as long as Adam Gase is still coaching that team, whether it's Darnold, whether it's Flacco, they can't move the ball on anybody. No thanks. One note on that, too, like with how bad the Jets have been this year and Jacksonville now after winning their opening game and eliminating me from a survivor pool. They've now lost five in a row, so thanks, Jacksonville. this year, and I don't know if this is like revisionist history and this doesn't usually happen every year or if this, I don't know, maybe listeners can help me in on that. We're nearing the, what would it be, quarter mark of the season. There are 10 teams with one or fewer win at this
point.
We're
already past that.
Yeah, we're past it. Yeah,
closer to the halfway point.
Close to the halfway point. There are 10 teams with fewer than one win. One win or fewer. New York's 0-6. The Bengals are 1-4-1. Houston and Jacksonville both 1-5.
Dude, I wonder if that's the most we've had.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a lot.
Isn't it 10? I mean, that's a third of the
league. Third of the league, yeah.
The Chargers are 1-4. You have three teams in the NFC East. Great job, NFC East. Philly 1-4-1. New York 1-5. Washington 1-5. Minnesota's 1-5. And Atlanta's 1-5. You have 10 teams that are vying right now. Like, Joe jokingly tweeted me yesterday because I had flirted on Twitter about quitting Kirk Cousins, but I need to find my next average quarterback to support first. And he said, don't make fun of Andy Dalton, blah, blah, blah. Cowboys are going to be good. But then he jokingly said Trevor Lawrence, they're going to be in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, which they technically are still.
Your team's too good.
At 2-3, they could still be
in the
mix.
We'll see about that.
But my response, I was thinking that, though, when you tweeted it, and I thought, dude, there are 10 teams that could get the number one pick.
Okay.
There are 10 teams with one winner or fewer that are all have a legitimate shot at getting the number one pick.
So let me also add into this conversation. That's a very good observation by you, that 10 teams are now vying for a franchise guy. By the way, I don't think we should just be limiting this to Lawrence. No. I think Fields could also prove to be an amazing quarterback.
And people like that Lance kid from North Dakota State.
That's right. Let's take it a step further. 10 teams vying for the number one pick. How many teams would give up what their team's start has been in order to be in that race?
Oh, like a team that's not in the mix?
Would 49er fan
would you give up
being 8-8 to 10-6, depending on what they can get to, in order to be in the race for a Fields or a Lawrence? How many teams are in that position?
Maybe ask the Chicago Bears, give up their 5-1 record.
And that's what I was thinking, is the Bears might end up being a pretty damn good football team.
They got a Super Bowl MVP at quarterback. You bite your tongue.
But Foles, either Foles is like a franchise guy or he's not. There's not really an in-between for him.
I mean, you're going all in for like 2 years, saying we got a defense, maybe we get a quarterback that can get hot.
But you're not taking 2 years to miss out on a quarterback that could be a decade.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Well, would you if it gets you a Super Bowl in the next 2 years?
Well, at that point, you would do anything you you'd
because there's no guarantee that Trevor Lawrence would win it.
Right. Yeah, he could be a bust for all we know.
Well, God, after yesterday, too, look at the Browns. It's like their quarterback situation right now, that's the one thing on offense potentially holding them back, and they would possibly give up a 4-2 start.
That's firmly in that category for me, and they're not far away from being in this mix, and they were close to not being, is Denver.
Denver's
Denver
a very
going
good
in
one.
And pulling off that upset. I always laugh because you want to win games. You want to see your team win games. But then I think, like, man, did you just kick yourself of getting a chance at a top 10 pick because you went in and beat New England when nobody thought you could? And I also chuckled at the we follow a Giants fan, Nick Costas of radio. He does the Better You Bet podcast.
He's a
diehard New York Giants fan. And the Giants fans were celebrating because Washington went for two and they didn't get it. And he was like, why are we celebrating? I don't want to. Why are we winning games?
Daniel Jones, baby.
He's like, dude, we get to the end of the year and we're a game behind Washington for the number one pick and they draft Trevor Lawrence. Are we going to be laughing then because we won a game in week six? What are we talking about right now?
And Daniel Jones, by the way, dual threat quarterback now.
Leads him in rushing, man.
Well, he kind of has to. They have no other options right now. Riveting three and out for both teams to start this Monday
afternoon
just early evening football game. But no, I was wondering that is, I think there's a lot more teams that would be willing to admit it publicly, but like they would fully trade whatever it is their season will end up being in order to be in that race.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Joe, you're right. If Baker Mayfield doesn't suck.
He looked so bad yesterday.
A pick like mine of them getting to the AFC title, it's not ridiculous, right? Like, but he can't throw you into a game and he can't win you the game. You need your running game and your pass rush to win your game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of teams that you mentioned 10 that are within one game of having that number one pick. There's probably five or six more that would trade whatever success they have this year, wild card spot, just missing out, or hell, even winning one playoff game. Would trade that in a heartbeat to draft those two guys.
Yeah, isn't it remarkable? I saw that stat and I was like, wait a minute, what, 10 teams, one winner fewer at this point in the NFL? Sometimes you get the revisionist history where it's like, this has never happened before.
So they have one loss or less?
One win or fewer.
Through I'm going to go back and look last year.
Through week six of the NFL
season.
And
I'll let you know where we were at this
point. I'll be curious, because there's a few teams that you obviously remember that stick out that had high draft picks. Also coming up next, I want to ask the bad quarterback question. I just thought of this randomly. We have a poll question on it today at Turton Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. You have to pick one of these guys to be your franchise quarterback. I've hired you as a GM, and these are the only four quarterbacks available. You have to pick one of them. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, or Gardner Minshew. Who do you go with? Mold that over the commercial break.
That's a terrible question.
Also, a broadcaster has hung up the headset, and I want to talk about that as well, as we still got a lot to get to in the final hour. Back after this on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Well, we do research on this show, no matter what the drops say. Actually, not really we. Joe did it during the break. Last 2 years, we were talking about teams that have one win or fewer through 6 weeks. There are 10 this year. The last 2 years, there's only been five in 2018 and 2019. So you're doubled up from where you were the last 2 years.
I thought my mic was off, so sorry for just sneezing next to the microphone.
Just right out in here, man. That was a Rona sneeze. We're all going down. Come on, dude.
Well, I had it in my shirt and tucked away in my elbow.
Okay, we're good.
Away from the microphone.
It was contained. Gross, bro. So, yeah, only five the last 2 years. So that's double. I don't know what it is. Bad quarterback play, I'm sure. I mean, it's a combination of everything.
Oh, training camp was really
training
weird.
Training camp, yeah. Bad coaching situations, new head coaches.
I was going to say, how many new systems? Oh, Allen going for the whole enchilada.
Oh,
oh good deep. Oh, pass interference. How much of it, too, is new system? Like, yeah. What are some of those teams? Do they have new coaching staffs?
Very true. Could be a part of it.
I think that's always part of the equation. Minnesota, for example, is in this. They lost, what, seven guys on defense?
Yeah, like Minnesota.
Plus, you traded Stephon Diggs. Like,
right. That's probably the biggest surprise of any of the teams with one win or fewer, I would argue. A lot of people thought they'd make noise in the NFC. Hell, I think I might even have them in my NFC title game this year in our preseason predictions.
Yeah, I know you had them at least in the playoffs. So
at 1-5, that ain't happening. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. I did, you know, just watching the games, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, those guys are always looming. It's always immediately looking to the next crop of quarterbacks that come into the league. And you really don't get a long time or a long leash, if you will, as a young quarterback in this league to show what you have anymore. Like, it's a pretty immediate, can you play or can you not play? And if you get off to a rough start, teams start looking towards the future. And I think, as we're mentioning, there's a handful of teams that are doing that. The two in New York, how fair it is, I don't know. But Daniel Jones has had his moments where he doesn't look like a very good quarterback. Sam Darnold and the Jets have been a dumpster fire. I know he's been banged up. Baker Mayfield yesterday for Cleveland was just awful when he got benched in the second half, threw a pick six, a couple of interceptions, just not good, right? And Gardner Minshew, who we thought, hey, maybe he's this good story as a six-round pick and he can be a turn himself into a nice starter. It's not like he's played terrible, but his team's now lost five straight games. So I did ask this question on Twitter. If you have to pick one of those four guys, which one would you pick as your franchise quarterback? Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, or Gardner Minshew? You have to pick one. There's no opt-outs.
I'm a big Baker guy. I was when he came out. Uh-huh. I thought he got destroyed a lot, and I like the moxie. I think it's good to have a guy that you either love or hate.
He's got some confidence to him.
I couldn't trust him. Daniel Jones.
Danny Dimes.
I don't think he's got very, and I'm saying this as a non-quarterback expert, but let me give you my expert opinion nonetheless. I don't think he's got good footwork. He backpedals almost every time he throws the football. Yeah, he can run it a little bit, but okay. Darnold, I don't know what to make either because, dear God, he's been awful. Yep. I love that it's like picking and choosing based on what your narrative was on certain guys going into a draft.
You just try and back up what your narrative was, yeah.
Daniel Jones, Baker, Darnold, and Gardner?
Gardner Minshew.
Can I punt?
You can't punt. You can't punt. You can't run the Wildcat either. Derrick Henry is not an option.
I guess I'll go Darnold and just hope that there's something I could salvage there.
Cadillac Williams is not a correct choice. You cannot.
I love Ronnie Brown, man.
Right? Those guys running the Wildcat.
You know what? I'm gonna reluctantly go Darnold. There's no right answer to this, and it's a stupid question by you.
That's why I thought it'd be fun to ask.
You're a jackass for thinking of that question.
38% of people say Gardner Minshew. You got the local angle there, and he has. I mean, it's not like Gardner's just been terrible. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. It's not like he also has a lot to work with in Jacksonville because that team is not very good.
That's like me asking, who would you rather have as your offensive play caller? Jason Garrett,
ooh,
Adam Gase,
ooh, I like this one,
or Mark Helfrich.
Adam Gase, you get crazy eyes, which would be fun to watch on the sideline.
Also possible drug use, but sure.
Yeah, potential drug use. Jason Garrett, you get excessive clapping, so that's always going to make me feel motivated, always going to get me excited and feel like something big is on the horizon.
Hey, have you seen his play card?
Is it huge? He's got a big card? A
lot of stuff on there.
A lot of plays on there.
A lot of schemes.
Yeah, Garrett's a big play card guy.
And Mark Helfrich, hey, the guy went to a national championship with that offense.
Also, Bears offense this year after they fired who in the offseason?
Oh, God, I don't know.
I love that Helfrich was the scapegoat for Nagy there.
Right. Get rid of the offensive coordinator.
And by the way, we knew
it's
going
be
in,
his fault.
We knew Helfrich, part of that agreement was, Matt, be honest with me, if things don't go well, and Matt was like, oh, absolutely, you're going to be the one
yes,
to blame.
I am going
to
back the truck up over you as I throw you underneath it, and you will be fired.
This kid's not good. Our GM stupidly didn't even meet with Deshaun Watson, so
we're going to need a scapegoat. But if things go well, you also get some of the credit.
Oh, God. One other thing from the NFL weekend that we have not discussed yet, and it got lost, unfortunately, because the Green Bay-Tampa game was probably the one I was most confident in coming into the weekend, and dear God was I, and I think a lot of people wrong on that. Green Bay got off to a 10-0 start, and it felt like, here we go. They were locked in. Tampa couldn't move the ball early. Aaron Rodgers is running around making plays. Here we go. It's 10-0. Green Bay's going to run away with this thing. Well, Rodgers then threw a pick six, and Tampa Bay scored 38 unanswered points.
He never should have done the Hingle McKringleberry
dance.
That's
what dance. I was going to say.
It jinxed him. Done after that point.
Is there bad karma now for the double pump dance?
Double pump?
Or I was going to say, he should have kept it to two.
That was
then
three.
That wouldn't have happened.
He got the triple pump.
He looked around before the third one to see if he was going to get flagged, and he did it.
I am bummed that ended, the game went that way because this gets lost in all of that. Was such a good celebration.
Well, I mean,
the slow pumps.
You stole it.
He did steal it, but to take that as Aaron Rodgers and do that, it didn't. The other part of it too was it wasn't even a touchdown. He was down at like the 1 yard line. I think they had to go rerun the play. It wasn't even a count.
The refs should have gotten together and like, look, it wasn't a touchdown, but I think we give it to him with that celebration.
Dude, he triple pumped.
We can't take that away.
Did Colin blame the loss on him doing that dance?
Ooh, yeah. I don't want my quarterbacks pumping in the end zone.
Don't you pump?
No, I don't want a pumper.
You want to pump? No. Pump and pump on your off time. Yeah, okay? Don't pump and pump on the field when you score, or you didn't even score.
Show some respect to the guys that came before you, okay?
I just would have died if Joe Buck. And that is a disgusting act by Aaron Rodgers.
Dude, Aikman did not know the reference to that dance.
He said it was a Die Hard reference or something.
He goes, I don't know what that was, Joe. Maybe that's a reference to Die Hard.
Oh, God, somebody's been hit in the head a few too many times.
Or doesn't watch Key and Peele or
miss
the internet.
That skit, though. That was a pretty sizable skit, right?
I think with successful multi-million-dollar athletes, I think we largely assume their lives are normal like ours, and a lot of them just aren't. They're not on the internet, right? Like his Twitter handle, he probably doesn't even have access to his Twitter account. It's probably publicist does. He's not on Instagram. He's not going online every morning to see what everybody's talking about or the big story. I don't think that dude's ever seen an episode of Key and Peele.
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers did the triple pump, the Hingle McKringleberry triple pump after a touchdown that was then overturned, and then his team gave up 38 unanswered.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, and I come from a place of betting on Green Bay minus the one here.
I did too, Bob. I had a lot of money riding on that game.
I don't know if there would have been a bigger shock to anybody's system going into Sunday morning getting ready to watch NFL football than if I would have told you the Packers will start 10-0.
Yes.
And then the Bucs will score 38 unanswered and win the game by 28 points. Yeah, nobody would have believed that.
No, I also, too, watching that game, because Tampa's not 38 points better than Green Bay. And it was a shame that it was a blowout, because the other game going on at that time was Miami-New York. And that, by the way, whole other side thing from this weekend, who's the jackass that scheduled 2 1 o'clock games?
They've done that a lot in the NFL.
Come on. Give me at least 3 or 4 in case there's a blowout. Fire whoever did that. That's ridiculous.
I don't think they fire that person.
Fire that guy. I want him out of a job. Tampa's not 38 points better, but the back and forth that happened with Rodgers and Sue made me clamor for that to be a rematch in the playoffs. Did it not?
Oh, yeah.
I want to see that one again. And it was amazing to see Rodgers and Green Bay go into such a shell. Like, they got punched in the face on that pick six. They were in control. He throws the pick six, and they just weren't, like, 2 plays later, he threw another pick. It just was all a snowball effect from there. It was amazing to see a team that has been in some pretty key moments and had to overcome adversity just go into a complete shell from then on out.
You know, the second pick, not his fault. Devontae Adams came over and looked like he said, hey, my bad, we'll get it going.
Went off his hands on a slam.
They look like they resorted to the team and became who they were last year when they faced a team like San Francisco. That once they had separation and that other team punched them in the mouth, they wanted no part of that fight. And that might be a one-off. I don't think it's fair to completely say that's who they're going to be all year. Again, I would hammer the Packers -3.5 going into the Houston game this weekend. But that was a classic 2019, oh my God, maybe we're not as legit type vibe. And I didn't like that because I think Green Bay is a damn good football team.
They are still,
Going into it, I've said they're the favorite in the NFC. Now, I don't know who I would pick as that, but that was that's a pretty telling moment for a team when you not only you lose, but you get steamrolled and you get bullied and you get pushed around. That offensive line, aside from losing
Bakhtiari, down in the game.
They just were getting manhandled by that defensive pass rush, and they blitzed a ton too. And Aaron Rodgers, according to Pro Football Focus, He's the worst passing completion percentage when he's under pressure. So that was clearly the MO, is let's get pressure on this guy, not allow him to sit back there.
They rattled him, man. There's no doubt about it. He did not look comfortable. Sue got in his head. He was a different guy.
You know, the turning point to me wasn't the pick six or even the second pick. The turning point to me when I kind of was like, oh, this game might be done. When he missed Mercedes Lewis in the middle, who would have easily scored a touchdown, when you miss that throw, you're not feeling right. There's something that shook you a little bit there, and that was very un-Rodgers-like to see that happen. Give credit where credit is due, though. Tampa Bay showed up.
They did.
And they got physical, and they played a hell of a football game. I did not see that one coming.
First time Gronkowski became a piece of the offense, too, so maybe that's an apology note that we should write as well to Tampa. Maybe they're figuring things out. One of our people said, I tried all morning to get signed up for the Oregon Lottery app, was going to bet the farm on Green Bay. So glad the locator function kept me from getting in. I wish it would have kept me from placing that bet as well. All right, let's get to we'll give you an update, or Joe will give you an update on what's going on. Kansas City and Buffalo underway in the first of the Monday night doubleheader. It's strange, but it's happening. Still in the first quarter. So Joe will let you know. We'll dive into Arizona and Dallas a little bit. That's the second half. And then a broadcasting legend hung him up. We'll get to that as well. But first, here's Joe with SportsCenter.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, The Fan.
Well, here, Joe, he was telling you in the update they were going to review a touchdown. It has been upheld. Kansas City, after punting on their opening drive, went the length of the field and scored. Buffalo punted on their opening drive and then went down and kicked a field goal. So it is 7-3 Kansas City, 3 minutes left here in the first quarter. Buffalo's drive was aided by either pass interference or holding. It's hard to do a show and keep an eye on it that closely.
No, they overturned that call.
Oh, they overturned that call. Yeah. Okay. It looked like that was going to be a big one, and I didn't see that they overturned it.
You know, discouraging start because they both were 3-and-out. 46 points now away from hitting the over. Yeah. They got it going a little bit. Let's see if they can keep it rolling.
Get a couple more scores here. Hopefully, maybe another big play before the end of the first quarter.
These defenses are giving up big chunk plays every single snap.
Start rooting for points, man. Allen's got a rough start. 2-for-9, 15 yards early, but they're trying to get the run game going. He has had a couple of nice scrambles. So Kansas City leads 7-3. The second half of the Monday Night Football doubleheader tonight is Arizona and Dallas. This line has moved a ton, and Dallas is now actually favored in this game.
What?
Which I'm like,
it switched over?
Yeah, Dallas is now a 1 or a 1.5 point favorite, which I don't quite understand that. I think Andy Dalton is one of the better backups in the league. I'll grant you that. But I think, are we just overlooking the fact that Dallas's defense is just god awful and can't stop a nosebleed? I got money on Arizona tonight. I picked them for spraying the line. I wouldn't be shocked if Dallas ends up winning, but I don't think they quite deserve to be fit. Arizona's above 500, and Dallas's defense is terrible.
I was reading an article on that game last week on the Action Network, and it was like a lot of sharps and big money were coming in on Dallas. They just felt like Dallas should be favored, and I'm kind of with you. I don't really understand it. But I put Dallas in my tees because I thought, well, if the Sharps think they're going to win outright, at least give me a 7.5 point edge here with Dallas, and I'll maybe feel a little more comfortable. But I don't really understand it. Maybe the thinking is just Zeke will get going now that Chandler Jones is off the offensive line.
No Chandler Jones, that's for sure.
A ton of weapons. Dalton maybe doesn't need to have the biggest stat line. He can move that ball through the air a little bit. And look, Arizona, fun start to their season. They were kind of the talk of the NFL a couple weeks in.
Yep.
They've come down a little bit. Now, I still think they're a very talented team.
They bounced back with a win last week. It was against the Jets, so I will be fair there.
Right.
But at least they beat the Jets the way that you're supposed to beat the Jets.
But I think they're more in that kind of 500 area more so for a lot of people. So maybe that's the reason you would look at Dallas and say, yeah, Dallas can win this game. It's just a matter of maybe who has the ball last.
It should be an exciting game. I'll grant you that. Not much defense. I wouldn't be surprised if the over hits. Arizona-Dallas second half of the Monday night doubleheader. Do we have the audio ready to go? Not quite yet. We're still awaiting. So tough news for hockey fans and I would say sports fans in general today. This one hit me across the...
Was this a surprise?
It was for me, and maybe I just wasn't following it closely enough. Maybe some people saw it coming. Doc Emmerich, who has been the voice of the NHL for, just forever. My entire life, it feels like. Him and Gary Thorne were the two guys that always did it. And Gary Thorne, still hanging on, actually, is the broadcaster for the Baltimore Orioles. He's a tremendous broadcaster. But Doc Emmerich, been the voice of the NHL for a long time. He is 74 years old, and maybe I shouldn't have... I didn't realize he was that old, I guess. He is retiring, and they sent out a video. There's tributes all over Twitter. Go watch him. It's worth it. He just highlights a bunch of stuff about his 50 years in the game of hockey. But here's a little snippet of it, and the hashtag Thank You Doc is trending. Here's Doc Emmerich.
To the many who love this sport, it was 50 years ago this fall, with pen and pad in hand at Old Civic Arena in Pittsburgh, I got my first chance to cover the National Hockey League.
That was Mike Emmerich.
14 teams. Gordie Howe was a Red Wing. Bobby Hull was a Blackhawk. Bobby Orr was a Bruin. All three went to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Gordie Howe's son Mark and Bobby Hull's son Brett did too. At that time, there were still scoreboard clocks with sweep hands and a lot of players with good bare right hands. Time passed. Rosters expanded. The league did too. Now 32 franchises.
Patrick Kane handed back.
Although I've decided to put down the play-by-play headset mic at NBC, and they have graciously allowed me to do some essays like this in the future, a time like this makes me recall that we have seen a lot together. And I especially love when the horn sounds and one playoff team has won and another, of course, hasn't. All hostility dissolves into that timeless, great display of sportsmanship, the handshake line. 60 years since I saw my first game. 50 years since I first reported on the NHL. 40 years of calling NHL games. And I am always heartened to see this.
Excellent series, Sid. Good job.
Come on, wins. I hope these days find you well. We are well here. In the meantime, I will be at home with Joyce and the pups.
It's a circus.
And perhaps in the future, I will have something to share with you, but hoping you can stay safe for now. And like me, watch for the start of next season. I leave you with sincere thanks, your hockey friend, Doc.
God, it got me in the feels, man.
When did he get the nickname Doc? When did that start? And also, boy, the difference between regular Mike Emmerich voice and Doc Emmerich voice couldn't be more different.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look up the, just glancing at a story, he got it thanks to his PhD. Call him Doc, and he got that a long time ago.
Okay, so like a funny, jokey,
respect Doc
thing.
You know, he's got a PhD. I didn't know much about that backstory, but that one, Doc Emmerich has been the voice of hockey for NBC forever, and calling Stanley Cup finals and big Stanley Cup playoff games, the Olympics, of course, which are on NBC. Some of those classics, like the 2010 gold medal game between Canada and America. So many memories over the years. All the outdoor winter classics. This one hurt. He is a tremendous broadcaster. Seems like a great guy. Don't obviously know him personally, but everybody who does is just raving about the kind of person that he is. And when you replace a voice of a sport, man, that's not an easy thing to do. I think college football still struggles with this. You know, moving on from Keith Jackson and Brent Musburger, not that Fowler is bad, but it just isn't quite the same. The NBA has a couple of guys, but Breen has been great. Like, who's going to fill Breen's shoes when he eventually retires and gets to that point? The NFL is slightly different because you have multiple, you know, voices that call other, you know, Al Michaels and Buck and, you know, Jim Nantz. It rotates around.
But it's going to be weird to lose, like, to lose Nantz off the Masters, right? To lose Michaels off Sunday Night Football, to lose Doc Emmerich in hockey.
I think Kenny Albert does a good job for hockey, but it's not Doc, man. I think you can easily argue he's the best big game announcer in any sport that there is. The emotion that he brings to it, the intensity, I would say a better version for those who don't watch hockey. He's a good Gus Johnson. And I don't mean that too disrespectful to Gus Johnson, but Gus Johnson, I feel like, has almost become a caricature of himself. Like, just, did you see him at the end of the Oklahoma Texas game?
I couldn't handle it.
Football! Robbery! Like, he was just yelling random words like this. What are we, huh?
Man,
what?
Woman,
yes,
TV, person.
That's exactly
person.
What it was at the end of the game. Go look up that clip, man. It blew me away.
Well, so everything
I would say
Gus,
Doc is a better version of that, where he's intense and the voice ratchets up, but there's some nuance behind it.
The thing
it.
About Gus is, like, Gus will make you, he'll get you excited. The problem with Gus is that every single play for Gus Johnson is damn near a touchdown, and most of them are like 3-yard runs.
Yeah.
And Smith to the corner! Right. Second and seven.
Yeah. So
what? God. You yelled that.
Calm down.
3-yard gain.
Calm down, Gus. Calm down. So Doc Emmerich hanging him up.
Gus does that for anything like Thanksgiving. He's like third in line.
The potatoes are served. Pass the gravy. Yeah.
Gus, would you shut up?
Gus, we're not on TV. Doc Emmerich hanging him up at the age of 74 is still going to have a role in some way, shape, or form with NBC Sports.
But no he's... condom denied. Yeah.
Legend. We lose a legend in the broadcast.
It does suck to lose a memorable voice.
Yeah.
For everybody.
No doubt about it. We'll get to the poll questions. We'll wrap up the show. We'll do it next on The Fam.
Hold on.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, The Fan.
Welcome back in. Isaac and Sue coming up top of the hour. Kansas City, Buffalo, early Monday Night Football game.
I'm going to take it a step further.
Looks like they got a flag on KC for pass interference.
Spot fouls for pass interference are my least favorite rule in sports.
It shouldn't be spot of the foul?
No.
You want a standard yardage?
I want 10 yards.
10 yards?
Automatic first down, 10
yards. What if
it's
in the end zone, though? What,
I don't care.
You don't care about the end zone?
No.
It could keep a guy from catching a touchdown.
Because
Wouldn't that let every defensive back just tackle the guy? I'm saying, like, might as well. If it's only going to be a 10-yard penalty, if you throw like a 50-yard pass, I just tackle the guy in the end zone and say I'd rather give him 10 yards than 7.
Well, I mean, that could be the offensive holding theme, too. They're not going to call it every play, so why don't we just hold every play? It's only 10 yards. It's a repeat of the down, too, so we have another opportunity.
Yeah, I just get the down over.
I think you have instances. It's such a tough task. It's one of the harder positions in sports is being a cornerback. And just because they kind of lightly grab, or not grab, but like, next to the arm a little bit. It's always an automatic defense pass interference. And it's like the offense gets away with a lot, man.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
I'm just not a fan of that. Touchdown Bills.
It looks like the Bills scored. Kansas City is insinuating he was not in bounds. Josh Allen's gotten off to a really rough start. He was like 3 of 11 for 20 yards early. Rain and kind of crappy weather there in Buffalo.
It's good football weather right now.
It is great football weather, man. We'll see if we get a look at the replay.
Oh, I think he's in.
That looks like it should hold up.
That's great.
Yeah, wow. That looks like a catch.
He's got the toes in.
Label that a catch. It looks like the Bills are going to take a lead early on. We have one
footwork.
One guy was like, I'm DVRing the game. He's like, sorry, man, the game's going on. We're going to talk about it. I apologize for that. It's 2 o'clock football. What do you want from us? If it holds
we're
up
idiots.
And they kick the PAT, it will be 10-7. So 11 minutes left in the second quarter.
So can I throw something at you real quick?
Sure, fire away.
So you know who Bob Ryan is?
Yeah, old Bob right. Ryan.
Boston Globe on Around the Horn.
One of those guys you look at, you're like, man, go enjoy life.
I think he's like 90 now.
He's old, yeah.
He did a tweet the other day, and people don't know if he's being serious, that says, what is a Twix? He's maintaining he doesn't know what a Twix bar is.
Zero chance that's true.
That's impossible, right?
If you want to go down the road of like, I've never had a Twix before, still not going to believe you because you've probably had a Twix at some point, just unknowingly. I'll listen, but to not know what a Twix is, no, that's stupid and
you
not true.
Accidentally see Twix at every convenience store or grocery store.
What's Pepsi? Never heard of it. What? There's commercials for Pepsi like every 45 minutes.
Especially when you're 90.
Yeah,
you can't be 90 and tell me you not like that. That dude used to cover the NBA on a daily basis. That guy went to every airport in the country and he ran through airports and never saw a Twix bar.
Never saw at a little newsstand or
Come
something.
On.
You're buying a little snack, a little this or that before
not
you jump on the flight.
Buying
There's
it.
Zero chance that that's true. Let me rattle through the poll questions. Who's going to win the NFC East?
I think it's going to be Dallas.
Will you change your mind if they lose tonight?
Sure.
Okay.
Because I hate that division and I don't care who wins it.
58% of people said Dallas, 36% said Philly, 2% said the Giants, and 3% said Washington. Gotta love those votes. And it should be noted that if Dallas is to lose tonight, that the Giants and Washington are only a game out of first place at 1-5. So the NFC East has that going for it. Who is your pick right now to win the NFC? The four options I gave you were Seattle, Green Bay, Chicago, or Tampa. And then I asked if it was another, you got to include who the other is. But I figured, you know, the Bears are 5-1. Give them their props. Green Bay was undefeated, and they suffered a bad loss this weekend, but a one-loss team. Seattle, the only undefeated team left in the NFC. And Tampa, I think, opened some eyes this last weekend with their win.
You know, Seattle's defense is It's so bad that it's hard for me to pick them. Russell would always make you feel nervous. Again, Green Bay's got that problem that when they get hit hard, they don't respond well. Tampa, I'm not ready to rush in on the Tampa love. I mean, they got up for a game after losing to Chicago and not knowing what down it was.
Yeah. You going BDN?
I don't think I'm going BDN either. I don't know how much I trust that. If I was to go other, I would go Rams.
Oh, you still have faith in the Rams, even after last night?
Yeah.
And all their wins have been against the NFC East?
He's going to lay a dud every once in a while. Goff, not as trustworthy. I get that, but it's McVay, and I still like what they got defensively.
Okay. I voted for Green Bay still leaving after the weekend. 75% of people said Seattle on that one. And then who are you rooting for in the World Series, which starts tomorrow over on 910 ESPN Portland and, of course, on Fox? 63% of people say they're rooting for the Rays. 63%.
I hate to do this to you. I think I got to go keep it in the NL.
Oh, come on. You want to see Swigart happy? it's glass.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. He might cry if they win.
Oh, it will be a big deal for him.
His entire life is dictated by how good or bad the Dodgers are.
Very true. That'll be the only silver lining if I got to suffer through a Dodger win.
The Rays would be the better story, I think, because of nobody giving them respect, the payroll, all that.
I'm sure we'll talk about it tomorrow, but I remember after the Braves took a 3-1 series lead and Kershaw choked again, referencing, we don't know how this book's going to end. He might get another chance. He will, because he has been labeled the Game 1 starter for the World Series.
Hey,
so, starting tomorrow.
You could change everything by having a great World Series outing for yourself.
Another crack at it, man. Tyler Glasnow versus Clayton Kershaw tomorrow, Game 1 of the World Series. If you missed any of the show, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. Enjoy the Monday night doubleheader. The World Series begins tomorrow. Thank you so much for being a part of our Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Everyone's next listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.